The best have had their dark moments. Now these are moments of fog, uncertainty, despair, and they are unworthy of the soul. I suppose it can be said that lest they should feel exalted above measure, they've been brought down into great depths and made to grope in the darkness. Elijah lies down under a juniper tree and fleeing from the curse of a woman whose administration he has withstood for long years. Peter denies all and crumbles. Paul sighs that no man stood with me. David is in the dumps. It's not the David we like to know. First, he said it in his heart. Now watch, sir, the tendency to brood over your troubles. If you have to say something, it's better to say it out loud. Get to some sympathetic person, pour it out. Brooding is calamitous. In dark moments, suicidal moments, when you believe your time has come and that you're marked for destruction, you need contradiction. You need someone to vigorously oppose your dark thoughts. You need to be reminded. You need facts, the covenant of God, the victories you've enjoyed. You need to be reminded of God's plan for your life. Unlock your soul and let another take issue with you. You and I need someone to sober us when we're in spiritual delirium tremens. When I'm incapable of judgment, I need another to exercise judgment for me. I can get intoxicated with my bad breaks. When hope is being deferred and therefore the heart is getting sick and steps are tottering, that's the moment you need another to help you against yourself. Do not say it in your heart. Find some son of consolation. Weep on someone's shoulder. Spill it out, mister. It's far better. Above all, pray. Don't shut God out. It's a frightful moment when Satan pushes you to the point where you conclude it's no use. You cannot pray your doubts. I shall perish. Try it. You cannot tell God that. No matter how badgered and worried and threatened you may be, you cannot pray that to God. Kneel, and suddenly the mood changes. You know God isn't going to let David perish by Saul's hand when God selected him and anointed him to be Saul's successor. Try that kind of moaning and groaning and your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth. The devil certainly wants to make sure that you don't pray when you're down in the dumps. In 10 seconds you have to say, "Oh God, I must not say, thou art a liar, and Samuel is a liar, and thy book is a lie, and everybody is a liar but me." My mood must change. I cannot pray and say, "Thou hast begun, but cannot finish. Thou hast builded, but run short of material." That mood will not stand up before God. And there's another way. Try to sing. David knew this therapy. When you conclude it's no use, try to sing. Count your blessings. Standing on the promises, you will find something has to give. Try to sing a composition of grunts and squeaks and growls and complaints. Try it. You'll choke on such dreary doggerel. Singing will bring you out of your doldrums. And that's why hell does its best to put a damper on gospel singing. Talk to a friend. Pray. Sing. Then say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." I shall perish. That's really the position of the atheist. There is no God to intervene. That is where your fear and timidity will push you. Hell will scare you and push you to the brink. There isn't much difference, lady, between the extreme of unbelief and the extreme of faithlessness. Both say in the heart, "There isn't any God." The mistake is evident. You look on Saul instead of God. You say to yourself, "This planet was made for Caesar, and Caesar is out to get me, and there's nothing I can do about it." When you lose hold on God, where are you? Mister, my strength is not genius nor scholarship. God is my strength. I have his word. The devil is a liar and always will be. You culture that mood of defeat and it'll make you a knave. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Unbelief makes you boast. It will make you climb the soapbox and deny the exceeding great and precious promises. It will make you bold and impudent in the laughing stock of your community. Laugh at yourself. See the vagueness you have conjured. I shall perish one day. You set no definite date. You only know it will happen sometime. You become a walking, speaking obituary. Satan is mean. He is the tormentor. If you knew what day, but he suggests one day, someday, you become a traveling farewell. It's ridiculous, but it will erode you. You'll become a nervous wreck. Tell the devil to fix a date. If he is so powerful, let him rob you from the eternal arms which are underneath. Make him tell you when. He can't. He's a scoundrel, full of bluff and threat. Look back at your yesterdays. Saul has had his chances. God has delivered you from the bear, the lion, from the Goliath. Brace yourself. Refuse to live in fright. Abhor the role of coward Satan wants you to play. You have lived through a lot of dates and danger. Tomorrow's pressure won't be different from yesterday's pressure. Tell your soul that. Oh, yes. He is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Just don't play his game. You aren't dead yet. You aren't even reported missing in action. God has kept you through a lot of gloomy days. It's a powerful argument. Borrow comfort from the past. Take a step of faith. Say to that bully from hell, it wasn't yesterday, and I do not believe it will be today. In the strength of God, turn on that eater. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Your yesterdays are like Samson's rent lion. Live on that, honey. God is your keeper. It's a moment by moment. He has demonstrated this to you. Don't bail out now. What he has started, he is able to finish. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. If he can keep you 12 minutes, he can keep you 12 years and 12 millenniums. Don't go around perishing. The church is overflowing with this tired blood. I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. Well, you haven't perished yet, lady. You just look like it. Live today and leave tomorrow with God. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I can't believe my ears. This isn't the same man who took a sling and a stone against Goliath. Well, we've all done it. Turned in the wrong direction. You take Saul, your salvation, God into your hands. We say, I'd better make my own plans. Who's going to look after me if I don't? We ask, doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? We ask, where is he when I need him? So we decide. It's always the worst possible decision. David could not have made a worse move than to quit the land of promise for the land of the enemy. He turned the clock back. It's a catastrophe to head back into the world, lady. You'll never find security. You're heading toward betrayal. Don't turn into the theater, the bar, the racetrack, the dance hall, the card party. The Philistines have an old score to settle with you. Having done all, stand, and you will win. A cave with God is better than a casino with a world system. What makes you think compromise is the answer? You wanted to be a missionary. Now you say it's too tough. You wanted to challenge your generation. Now you say you can't serve in the ghetto or the housing development. You wanted to be a pastor's wife. Now you say you can't take it anymore. It's getting on your nerves, so you're heading toward the enemy. What makes you think that will work? What are you going to trade for a clear conscience? Let me tell you something. The Philistines will use you, and you will have to act the fool to get along. You will despise yourself. You will crawl and think of the moment when you stood up to their Goliath. If you want to know misery of soul, then just turn back to the Philistines. You may find temporary ease, but you'll pay. Oh, yes, you will pay. Samson did. Now, what is the last word? It's this. David survived Saul. His fears were wrong. They had to be wrong. Saul died unwept, unhonored, unsung. David came to the throne. He sat there a long, long time. I wonder whether he ever thought back. Yes, he nearly perished, but not by Saul's hand. By his own hand, he grew careless. There were none to make him afraid. His assassin was his own unbridled lust. Mister, look near home for your killer. Look under your own hat and in your own boots. That's the man that will get you if you're not careful. It isn't the Sauls in life who destroy you. It's self that destroys you. Don't waver, mister. They that wait for me shall never be ashamed. This is God's word to you. He that believeth shall not make haste. So don't run every time the devil tells you. I know the power in whom I trust. The arm on which I lean, he will my Savior be. Who hath my Savior been? Now, the long, long altar is alive with blessing. The aisles are crowded, thank God. The needs are many, but the supply is great. So come in these next 10 seconds. Mrs. Claude Harvard, Point Leamington, Newfoundland, Canada, loves these moments. She says, Station CKCM brings you to us. And I have found rich reward kneeling with you, Brother Ward. The presence of God is real, and so many times I'm in tears. The power of another world has gripped me. And Mrs. Alex Toth knelt at Watertown, New York. She was burdened for a retarded lad, not her own. The lad did not have believing parents. And Mrs. Toth asked that the Master's touch might be a sign to these parents, and she says, everyone has noticed the marvelous change, and the boy has won an art prize. Now, this is a beautiful and powerful fellowship. Our Father, it's our privilege to confess before men that Jesus of Nazareth is thy only begotten Son, Savior, Redeemer. I thank thee for multiplying grace and peace to us. I pray for those who've been chilled for days and without adequate fuel supplies. I pray for so much of the land that needs moisture, rain. I pray for churches seeking mortgage money because they need to build. I pray for some of the most dedicated people on earth ministering to our American Indians, free men from the burden of guilt, free so many women from the bondage of fashion and pride. Continue to cleanse government. Give us thy evangelists with thy gospel. Amen. Prayer is more than religious exercise, mister. It's the breath of the soul. The man, Christ Jesus, is here. And this is his body. We're members of him. He never comes to socialize or entertain because Calvary is far too important. So many of us, tuned by the Spirit to his ministry of grace among us, sense his direction. So Jesus is here to touch a young woman. She has been bypassed continually in the office for promotion. She's worthy of it, but certain influences have stifled the promotion because, like Vashti, this young woman will not yield to unethical and ungodly practices. And now, she will suddenly be contacted by another industry for a very, very important position with a much larger salary, because heaven is not in your debt, young lady. Heaven has appreciated your stand and your trust in God in your office. Use your reward for God's glory. I'm his evangelist. This is the meeting. All is done in his name. He is our personality. We advance no other. He is all and in all. These ministries are his tools. This network fellowship is gathered by the Holy Spirit. We are not of this world system. At any moment, the dead in Christ shall rise. At that moment, everything will be set in motion. And I have a great desire to be present at that great reunion. And I have the promise of the Spirit, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.